And so I bid you all grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, which of the two did the will of his Father? With that question, Jesus turned the tables on the religious leaders who had thought that they were going to trap him with their question. For no matter how they answered, whether they said first or second son, what stands clear is that they were neither. Now, if this was a Bible study, there's a fascinating story to be told about the chess game that takes place between Jesus and these representatives from the Sanhedrin. For it was Tuesday morning when they confronted him in the middle of his teaching, right when he arrived into the temple courts that day. And it was Tuesday, what we now call Holy Week, meaning that in 3 days, Jesus would be crucified by these same leaders. But the moves and the counter moves between Jesus and those leaders isn't the point. The parable of the two sons is. And the question to us is, which of the sons are we? And for us, we also want to be neither, but in a way completely different from the path those religious leaders were determined to follow. So, what's going on with this parable? Well, again, it's another one that's fairly easy to unpack, especially given its context. The man, the father, right, is clearly God. The sons are all people. God calls all people into his vineyard, into the kingdom. Now, the first son says, no, I'm not going. And for a son to flat out refuse his father in that day and time was a grave insult. It indicated that he did not consider himself any part of the family. So in Jesus' story, the first son is not simply impertinent. He is a defiant rebel and lost to the household. But he changed his mind and went into the vineyard, where the father presumably welcomed him back, just like the father in the parable of the prodigal son. The second son says, yes, I go, sir. So it looks like he's part of the household. It looks like he's in a right relationship with his father, but then he doesn't go. And so he is also rebelling and alienating himself from the kingdom. We don't hear if he ever turns around or not. Perhaps seeing his brother come back will spark his conscience. Anyway, we have these two sons. One says no, but finally says yes to the kingdom. And the other says yes, but lives out a no to the kingdom. Which did the will of his father? Turns out neither, right? A model son would have said yes and then gone right to work. Now, the pragmatist in us says, but the first son still ended up in the vineyard, so he ends up doing his father's will, right? But that initial no really is a major sin, and his story could have ended much worse. Now, the religious leaders, as I said earlier, were trapped by this question, which son did the will of his father, but they didn't know it. For this question revealed the truth about them. You see, if the parable is about coming into the kingdom, and this chess game has been about the authority of Jesus and the authority of John the Baptist, an interesting point suddenly emerges. John came saying that the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Enter into the kingdom so that you can receive the Messiah. And of course, Jesus is the Messiah. And he is the work in the kingdom of God come to us to restore all things. John was like that father, calling to his sons. And some said no, but later, with Jesus, they said yes. Others said yes to John and got baptized, but then they didn't follow Jesus. But the religious leaders, they said no to both Jesus and John. So no matter which son they said did the Father's will, Jesus would have challenged their hypocrisy. If they had said the second son was right, Jesus still would have told them, then why did you not believe John, whose works clearly were the works of God, as hearts of the fathers were being turned toward their children and children toward their fathers, so that a people would be prepared to receive their Lord? Now, why did these leaders say no and live no? Well, because they were hypocrites. They were religious play actors. They wanted to appear one thing, while in reality they were another. They wanted to look like pious followers of God. They wanted people to think that they were paragons of virtue, but secretly, They were a self-satisfied bunch, content with themselves. They didn't want to hear Jesus. They didn't want to hear John. They just wanted to live their good lives. Now, I said that we don't want to be like those religious leaders, and we don't want to be like either of the sons in the parable, although if you have to be one, indeed, the first son is the way to go. Repent. Get out to the vineyard. But what we really want to be is children who say yes to the kingdom's call and who actually get on with the work of the kingdom in faith. If you will, the religious leaders were like someone saying, no, I'm not going, and then also not going. They are no-nos. The first son is a no-yes by repentance. He enters the vineyard, and the second son is a yes-no. He says the right thing, but he never does it. So we don't want to be no-nos, and we don't want to be no-yeses, and we don't want to be yes-nos. We want to be, by God's grace and mercy in Jesus, yes-yeses. But how? I mean, it seems that we're all born no-nos, right? And we have that inherited corruption from Adam and Eve. By the Word and the Spirit, we are joined to Christ, so we become yeses. So it looks like the best we can hope for is being no-yeses. But the temporal history of our salvation, I mean, you know, that at one time I was thing X and now I'm thing Y and I hope to be thing Z in the future. The temporal story of our salvation misses the lovely reality of how God sees you in Christ right now. You see, Jesus is the yes, yes son. You heard from Philippians, right? He did not count equality with God something to be grasped after, but he emptied himself, doing the Father's will perfectly, and was born as a man, and he became obedient to death, even death on the cross. And as Jesus has taken your sins to the cross, he gives you his righteousness, so that in him you are filled with light and life. By the glorious gift of himself on the cross and by his mighty resurrection, you are in him and you are a yes, yes child in God's sight. The work of the kingdom, the work of Christ is all about restoration, bringing back the lost, restoring us to a right fellowship and communion with God and with each other. And really, this is what we've been circling for the past few weeks. I mean, think back to the disciples coming to Jesus and asking who is the greatest in the kingdom. You'll remember Jesus told them that the one who is needy and knows it, that one is great in the kingdom, because that one gratefully receives all that the kingdom gives. And once we get that, then we look out for the little ones around us, the fragile, the hurting, the struggling believers. We do everything we can so that we don't sin against them. We seek out after the ones who are straying. We try to bring those who sin to repentance. We forgive as we are forgiven. Over and over and over again, because love never ends. We go into the vineyard to work, content with the promise of life and salvation and forgiveness, and then rejoice that we are restored to be able to work alongside God in his ongoing care of all things. And what does that mean then for you in this strange year of our Lord 2020? Well, the kingdom has also come to you here. Christ comes to you, and in him, not only are you forgiven, you are restored, you are gathered into the kingdom, you are sent into the vineyard. Rejoice. Rejoice to see the kingdom's work as other sinners come to faith. Rejoice and seek to gather others in. The door is still open. There's plenty of room. Say yes to the work of the kingdom and in Christ go forth to show love and forgiveness and mercy. A man had two sons. Which are you? By God's mercy in Christ, you're neither. In Christ, you are a beloved heir, a servant of the Most High. For St. Paul wrote to the Philippians, you shine as lights in the world, so hold fast to the word of life. Even so, amen. And now may that peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until the glorious day of his appearing. Amen.